This year we have a double adra, the Rishon, the Sheni, and it's also double unique in that we have it's also a Shemitah year. And you know, the people who inherit the Shol, who are farmers, who even everyone is affected in a very profound way. It's a Shabbos LaHashem. It's a long Shabbos. Okay, you know, Shabbos, Shemitah is very similar to Shabbos. It's a different type of Shabbos in a winter Shabbos and a summer Shabbos. In the winter, okay, you have a long Friday night, and you have a short Shabbos day. In the summer, you have a long Shabbos day and a short Friday night. Shabbos is always the same amount of time, but you don't have a Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is 24 hours, so twice the Shabbos, a little bit before, a little bit after. But think about it. You know, Shabbos is always the same amount of time every single day of the year. There's no such thing in the day to extend the day in Iber Yom. No such thing. A day is 24 hours. Period. There's never such a, we have to go and you know, pad the day by an extra hour to make the day come out and work out with all the different calculations. Yet when it comes to the year, isn't it amazing that you can have in a year, in time, a year that has 13 months? And for that matter, in a month, you have a month of 29 days, a month of 30 days. Ordinarily, when we judge time, time is always judged. There are days, then there are weeks, months, years, a Shemitah cycle, and Yovel. Yet, even though time is sacred, time is set, time is, you know, the whole world revolves around time, it's very interesting that although we break up time into different units, there are some units that are etched in stone. The day is 24 hours, and that's it. Never, ever will the day change, more or less. By the goyim, it's not so. Isn't there such a thing where they're going to add a second here and there?
Well, after like a century or something, they have to adjust the atomic clock.
They do it, see,
fraction.
The Chinese have a similar system of leap months, because they also follow the lunar calendar.
Okay. And also the Muslims.
They had the last time they had to adjust the atomic clock was a major earthquake that shook the world, literally. They
interesting.
Had to adjust the atomic clock.
Because of the earthquake.
Okay,
it's very, very fascinating. An hour Mesorah, a day will never, ever be adjusted. There's no such thing, even if there's an earthquake and everything spins off its axis and the mashu, doesn't matter. A day is never adjusted. The day is 24, it's always going to be the same. We never manipulate the day. We never manipulate a week. We never manipulate Shemitah. Shemitah is 7 years. That's it. That's the way it is. Yovel is 50 years. There's no manipulation. Now, it's true. We don't count Yovel as today because there's no Beis HaMikdash, but when there is a Beis HaMikdash, it's always going to be 50. No. However, when it comes to a month and when it comes to a year, When it comes to a month, we adjust the month. Is a month 29 days or is it 30 days? And when it comes to a year, it's fascinating that the years, we manipulate the year. The year sometimes is going to be 12 months, sometimes 13 months, and the month as well. Okay, so this year it is interesting that we are adding the fact that the year is a Shemitah year. And the Shemitah is Shabbos LaHashem.
By the way, also the future, they said that, I forgot how long they said that, starting to say the same Talamotor will come upon us. I mean, provided Mashiach doesn't come till then, we will start saying it December 5th instead of December 4th.
We already do say December 5th. We already do that.
No, but I mean, it's going to move another
6th. You can, but that's
night,
secular.
Not, you know,
right, but that's a secular account. That's night, not... Okay, but that's reconciling our calendar. But it's, what I'm trying to bring out is that this year is very unique in that Shemitah is called Shabbos. And Shemitah, there are many associations between Shabbos, Kodesh, and Shemitah. Okay, but just like we have a Shabbos, every seventh day is Shabbos, every seventh year is Shemitah. Yet there's a very big difference. On the regular Shabbos Kodesh, day seven of the week, there is no way you can extend the length of the Shabbos. The Shabbos is 24 hours. We have Tosefta Shabbos. We don't know exactly when the day starts, the end, so we pad it. We start with Shkia. We end when the sun, the stars come out. But it's always the same. It's always the same. A day is a day. Shemitah is the equivalent to Shabbos. Just like you rest on Shabbos, you rest in the Shemitah year. In fact, the Psukim, which Chazal Darshan, Sheish, Yom, the Psukim that says, Bechodesh, Uva Kotsir, Tishbois, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Does that refer to Shabbos Kodesh, or does it refer to the year of Shemitah? Bechodesh, Uva Kotsir, Tishbois. So obviously, the very fact that the Gemara can entertain the possibility of these expressions, that you shall cease from plowing and planting, Bechodesh, Uva Kotsir, harvesting, from plowing and harvesting, in the same exact words, it can be referred to Shabbos Kodesh, or can refer to Shemitah, goes to show the association there is between Shabbos and Shemitah. Yet, it's fascinating that when it comes to Shemitah, you can have a longer Shemitah. You could have a Shemitah that's not 12 months, but is 13 months. And in fact, each one of the months also can be manipulated. Should it be 29 days, should it be 30 days. But on Shabbos Kodesh, the seventh day of the week, it's etched in stone. The period of time is set. Which is very, very fascinating because it creates a new type of Shabbos. You're all familiar that the Mo'adim are not set. The Mo'adim, we are in control of when the Mo'adim should take place. Bezin, for whatever reason, wants to decide the Mo'adim should take place a month later, or they want it to be a day later. They have the right, they have the option, the prerogative to extend the calendar to manipulate the exact date in which the festival will fall out upon. When it comes to Shabbos, you don't have any right. Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos, kivi v'kaimi, there is no room to budge. There's no room to budge. Shemitah is somewhere in between. Shemitah, the Shemitah year is a time period where that brings within this element of it's Shabbos. You're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to touch the land. You're not allowed to work the land. It carries with it Kedusha Shabbos the entire year. And yet, Shabbat Haaretz, Shabbos LaHashem, the same terminology. You're not allowed to work the land. And yet, it's a Shabbos that has within it elements of the Mo'adim. Of the Mo'adim where its length and time can be contracted and expanded. It's a very unique mixing of the elements of the Mo'adim and of Shabbos. Shabbos and the Mo'adim are two passing ships in the evening. Nothing to do with one another. The Shabbos and the Mo'adim. Shabbos is Shabbos Lashem. It's etched in stone in Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Kiddush of Shabbos comes on its own. You don't have to do anything. Hashem sends down a Shef of Kiddush. Mo'adim? No. If you don't make it into a Moed, it's not going to happen. You have to make the Moed. You have to establish when you want the Moed to be. You have a little flexibility when you want the Moed to be. And you have to bring Kiddush into the Moed. And that's it. These two concepts have nothing to do with one another. Yet, the Shemitah, a year of Shemitah, it's like a long Chol HaMoed. It's like you're not allowed to do melacha on Shemitah. It's even more common than Chol HaMoed. You can do at least Davar HaAved. You can do on Shemitah. You can't even do Davar HaAved. You can't do anything on Shemitah. And yet, it's Kvi V'Kaima. It's every 7 years. You can't go decide which cycle you want it to be. Yet in the Shemitah itself, there is this ability to expand and contract. And that's up to the decision, the prerogative of the Beis Din. It's a Shemitah year. Do you want the Shemitah year to be a Shemitah year of 13 months? Or do you want the Shemitah year to be a Shemitah year of 12 months? And each month, and you can maximize, if you really want, you can maximize, you can make them, you can make four. The most leap, the most months you can make, they alternate. But then there are 4 months that you, if you really want, you can expand, you can make in another 4 days in the year by expanding the Chodoshim, and then you can expand it with an additional month. It's amazing. It contains within it Shemitah, it's kevi v'kaima. There's a chef of bracha that comes to the world automatically in the Shemitah year. Shabbos l'Hashem. But in addition, in the Shemitah year, there is room for a person to give it kedusha, for you to be a partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Shemitah and adding your own degree or your own personal sanctification. And now when we're coming to Chodesh Adar Aleph, which is part of the padding of the year, we're in the eye of the storm. Now in the eye of the storm. Now let's discuss some things, some halachas, which bring out some of the hashkaf of the month. Which Adar is really the padded Adar? We have two Adorim. Is it the Adar Aleph that is the extra Adar, or is it the Adar Beis that is the extra Adar? So L'Choira, it's the second Adar that is the extra Adar. Now, why do I say that? Why do we say that? What? All right, so let's look at the halachas. Maybe it's not. Let's look at the halachas. When do we celebrate Purim? The second Adar. Now, generally, when do they observe Yahrzeit? But generally, if push comes to shove, generally it's going to be the first. You can't do it both. Generally, it's going to be the first. The Ikar Yahrzeit appears to be the first. In other words, of course, we're talking with a person died. Let's go. The person died in a year when there was only one Adar, and now he's observing Yahrzeit in a year when there are two Adorim. If I'm saying that correctly, not sure. Two Adorim, Adors, whatever. I don't know how to say correctly. Whatever it is, when there's a dog, two or two. How do you say it? Kalman, how do you say it? Shnei Chodshei Ador. How do you say it in English? I'm an American. How do you say it in English? Adors, Adorim. 2 months of Adar. I don't know how to say it in Yeshiva Shuah. What's the correct Yeshiva Shuah way to say it? When you have a double Adar, okay, a double Adar. When you have a double Adar, when which one do you celebrate? Do you observe? So, when it comes to a Yahrzeit, generally, now why is that so? So let's analyze. Let's analyze this. Chazal make it very. Look at the conflict. Look to understand the lumness of why this should be so. On the one hand, we have a principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al Hamitzvos. When a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do not delay. Technically speaking, it's Adar. Adar is Adar. What do you want? Both of them, when the push comes to shove, both Adar Rish and Adar Sheni is Adar. And you can really do it in both. You can do it in either one that you want. Now, because we have to have a convention. We have to have a convention of how to do things. So what are the conflicting, what are the issues of why you would want to observe something in the first versus the second over the first? So on the one hand, there's a principle called Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. When you have an opportunity, grab it. Don't delay. Life is short. You go to a restaurant. What do you get? What is the first thing that you order? Dessert. Life is uncertain. First we'll have the dessert and then we'll have the main course. Don't let an opportunity pass you by. Mitzad sheni, Chazal say, there's a principle of being soimech geula legeula. Purim is a tekufa of redemption. We were redeemed from our difficult matzav. Pesach is the makar, the shoresh of all redemption. There is a principle to group them together, to be soimech geula ligul. Each one feeds off the other. The element of special when it comes to Purim, Purim was a geula of witnessing Hashem within nature, a clear miracle, seeing the Yad Hashem within the framework of Teva, and Pesach was a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeeming us lemala miderech HaTeva. And both of these concepts complement one another. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And the yofi of bringing together the geula of Purim with the geula of Pesach is critical. Don't make a mistake and think HaKadosh Baruch Hu only operates when he needs to save us al lemala miderech hateva. But after Pesach is over, it's business as usual. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu went back to his world, and here we are in the Olam HaTeva, a world of chaos, and there's no Hashgacha Pratis, Chas HaShalom, and that's Apikorsis. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times reveals himself L'mala Miderech HaTeva, he's always there revealing himself within the framework of Teva. And in order that no one should make that mistake, it's critical that the miracle of Purim and the miracle of Pesach be fused together as one. They be nismach ze lo ze. So that's a very important principle. And in fact, that carries the day. And because that principle is so important, it's so critical, it's better to overlook. It's a very frightening thing. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what the situation is going to be tomorrow. If today in the Adar Aleph we're able to celebrate Purim, to chaperai in another mitzvah, to lay in the Megillah, and to give matonis lo evyoinim, and do the mitzvah of mishloach manos, it accomplishes very big things. Purim, you don't take anything lightly. Everything that we do in Purim accomplishes very great things. So why should we delay? Why do we dilly down? We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. No one knows what's coming in the future. No. It's worthy to delay. Pa'amim shebitula zehu kiyuma. It's an incredible concept. How Chazal told us mamish not to do it. To be mevatel and not do it for the greater good. The greater good of what is going to be the essence of preserving for Klal Yisrael to bring together Purim, the miracle of Purim, with the miracle of Pesach. Okay, now what about observing a yard site? Now many people today, they observe both yard sites. They observe both. They observe it both in the Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, where I daven, it's always in the leap year. You hear a guy who never comes to yeshiva. All of a sudden, he has the omelet today, he has yard site. And then 30 days later, there he is again. I find it very, very funny.
And no flights?
Come back for double. Okay?
He doesn't have rights to the second one over
someone else. That's only if you're going to make an assumption. He says, a baruch is a gaba. He knows the stuff called. A baruch is working with the principle that the Ikor yard site is Adar Rishon, correct? Is that what?
Yeah.
So like we said before, people do observe it both, but the Ikor is the first. Why? Why is the first? Because basically, Ein Ma'avidin Al HaMitzvahs. If there's a yard site today, why delay? You know, when it comes to Purim, there's an exception. The exception is to be Soymech Geula LeGeula. When it comes to a yard site, there's no. What are you waiting for? There's this. Oh, I want to observe the yard site in the second Adar, so it should be close to Nisan. Why? What does Nisan have to do with the yard site? The person is in the other world. What are you waiting for? What's the delay? There's no other reason. Oh, there's no other reason. It's not called a mitzvah. You can't go say observing a yard site is a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. It's an inyan. We said this yesterday. It's called an inyan. So, ein mavirin. You have an opportunity to give a nachas ruach to the neshama. It's now on the calendar, the yoim hamisa. So, observe the yard site. What's the problem? Do not delay. Now, here's what's not so simple.
It's been brought down that really it's a shvat days. And we only call it an Adar Aleph for the semantics of it. The really Adar Beis is the real Adar. And the people who hold there are people who hold that the Adar Beis is the real Yerzer. And Adar Aleph is really a Shvat Beis.
Now, I think what you're referring to is only when it's on Rosh Chodesh. And you don't, ordinarily, I never saw what you say. No, I never heard such a thing. I hear what you're saying. Kobe, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. But this idea that you said, it says beferish with regard to Rosh Chodesh, because sometimes the day doesn't exist. A person dies in a year when there's a double Adar, and that means, I don't make a whole calculation, and that year when there's a double Adar, you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. I don't remember the whole calculation. And then the next year, that day doesn't exist in the calendar.
The reason you're right is what the Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah, Because they, till when do you have the ability to be Ma'avir the Shana?
Okay, that's another principle.
So in other words, that proves the point that you were Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh Adar after Shvat, and you didn't necessarily decide that there's going to be a second Adar until at least the 15th day of Adar before Purim to say, oh, we're going to have
you still have the choice, you still have the choice to be Ma'avir and Adar, right?
When the Chazan mentions Rosh Chodesh, after Shvat, he says Rosh Chodesh Adar, he didn't decide yet if there's going to be another Shvat.
Okay.
So we know for a fact that it has to be called Adar Aleph.
Okay.
Later.
I have Dr. Stern, I hear what you're saying. I never heard that before. I heard that explicitly. I learned that actually yesterday in the unique situation of where a day is missing. I'm missing from the calendar. We have to go to the calculation, which I too complicate my little head for the calculation of where you have a situation where a person is born on a certain day, and guess what? That day doesn't exist when it becomes bar mitzvah. Or yards, it happens on a certain day, and then
but
the next year.
There's no Lamed Adar next year.
Oh, so that's the case. So there's no Lamed. So this year, there's no an Adar Aleph, and it's always going to be a Mole. An Adar is ordinarily Chaser. The first Adar is Mole, and the second Adar is Chaser. So if this year we have Adar, Lamed, the 30th day of Adar. Next year doesn't exist, because next year there's going to be only one Adar, and it's going to be 29 days. So what happened to the 30th day of Adar? Does that mean that it's really part of Shvat? Oh, so here we say that Lamed Adar is Lamed becomes Lamed Shvat. Shvat has, I'm getting confused, whatever it is. That situation that you said, I heard, read yesterday, last night, late at night, I was explicitly in a situation where a day disappears. Then we call it, it's really a chelik of Shvat. But to say the whole month is just a Shvat base, it could be. I never remember coming across such a thing. Generally, Adar is Adar, and Adar base is Adar. There's no double Shvat. It's a double Adar. Now, let's go. Now, here's the problem. Here's the exception, the notable exception, which throws many people off base. And that is, when do you observe Zayin Adar? It's in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that Zayin Adar is a Yom Tzayim. It's a day to fast. And this was observed for generations. The Chevek Hadish, they do the Chevek Hadish. I saw my own last year. Zayin Adar, they have in this room, Mamish, in this room, they had here. Chevek Kadisha came on Zayin Adar. There's a Chevek Kadisha in this neighborhood. They had a Yom Tzoyim, and they davened a special mincha. They had printed slichos, misaskin, printed a special slichos for the Chevek Kadisha, and it was a Rav. They have a Rav this Chevra, and the Rav spoke for 45 minutes, right here in this room last year. And they laid Vaychal. There must have been about 30 people here, part of the Chevek Kadisha. Zayin, when do they observe the Zayin Adar of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit in a leap year? So it's not so simple, but generally, if when I'm not mistaken, they observe it, I really should say, because I don't know for sure, some do the first, because the first is, you know, Yahrzeit, what are you waiting for? There's no Inyan to go observe a Yahrzeit in the second Adar because it's Samach to Pesach. That's when it comes to the Purim. That's the only exception. But Mitzat Sheni, what does it say in the Megillah? What does it say in the Medrash? Why did Haman rejoice when the Goyrol fell out in Chodesh Adar? Haman said, oh, I'm so happy. Because this is the day when Moshe died. It's a bad mazel for the Jewish people. They have a bad mazel. So therefore, oh, look at that, it's the perfect time to enact, to put forth the Gzeir al-Hashr al-Hari al-Abed. The Medrash goes, little did he know, the same day that Moshe was born. So Adarab, it's a good mazel, it's all the way he was born, that Tzadikim Hashem Zimalish Nosev Miyam Liyam, Moshe Taka died, but Moshe was born in Adar. And the Medrash, it's a very good mazel for Klal Yisrael. So what do you see from this? Purim is one in one with Moshe Rabbeinu. Purim, Moshe Purim, there was the whole Goyrol. People Purhu Agarol in Adar, he rejoiced because it was Moshe's Petira, but Moshe was born. You cannot separate the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu from Purim. And once Purim is going to be observed in Adar Sheni, because it has to be Samoch Le Geula of Pesach, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that will automatically bring with it the Yahrzeit, the observance of Zayin Adar for Moshe Rabbeinu. So it will be an exception. So not everyone does this. I don't know what they do this chevri over here. We'll see what's going to happen in a couple of days. We'll see if they show up this Adar or the next Adar. It seems like there are different customs. It seems like it's not etched in stone. But the argument is a very powerful argument that although an ordinary Yahrzeit, a regular Yahrzeit, is primarily observed in the first Adar, but not the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu is one with the story of Purim, which is an amazing concept, which totally changes our appreciation of Zayin Adar. It totally, totally changes everything. Zayin Adar, we say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is Yahrzeit. No, Moshe Rabbeinu is Yahrzeit. Okay, whatever it is. Not too many people take into consideration that the Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira is a chelek of the story of Purim.
Right.
We look at it, it's a nice medrash. Yes, I'll find you many medrashim. You know, I'll find you a medrash that has something to do with Mr. Shelach. We'll make some drush. Homiletics 101. What's the connection between Mr. Shelach and Purim? Very nice. Very, very nice. Mark will find us some esoteric medrash that we'll make. So what? Have a nice day. But so many people, they look at Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit in the same way someone would get to make a drasha and tell us, oh, Purim is all about Mr. Shelach. No, that's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira is integral, is mamish a chelek of Purim. You can't separate Moshe from Purim. Look, Moshe went to do the Melchemes Amalek. Moshe, we lay down, what's the Kriyas HaTorah? Moshe, v'hoye kasha yadim yadav, the Govar Yisrael. The Chasha Yoniach Yadav, the Govar Amalek. What are you learning that on Purim for? You want to learn Amalek? So go, Parashas Kiseitse, that's the more appropriate place to lay in. Go lay in the Maftir of Parashas Kiseitse, Zohar. Lay in that on Purim also. Don't just lay in that Shabbos, Parashas Zohar, lay that on Purim. You want to go, there are other things you can learn about Amalek. There are many Muhammad Sam, you can find another place to learn about Amalek. What are you learning? Specifically, the Muhammad in Parashas Bishalach. You know why? Because there it says, V'hoye kasher yodim Moshe, the Govar Yisrael. Don't separate Moshe from Purim. There's something, there's depth to be appreciated in Moshe Rabbeinu, his chelik in Purim. And you know, it goes along with what, you know, a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu, more or less, what was his avodah for Klal Yisrael? Nisim l'mala miderech hateva. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Ten Makos, surviving in the desert, the mon. These are all things that are very, you know, l'mala miderech hateva. No. Moshe is on Purim also. Teva. Moshe gave us the Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. There's no greater fulfillment of seeing Hashem in the world of Teva than Torah's Moshe. There's no greater. The whole Purim is all about Torah's Moshe, a way to live your life al derech hatev. Who gave us the way to live your life to see the Yad Hashem in Purim, in the see Hashem's presence in nature? Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Don't separate Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the real hero of Purim. He's the real hero. Moshe is a chelik of Purim. Therefore, Moshe's Yahrzeit must be observed specifically in Adar Sheni. So then people get confused. Well, if Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit is in Adar Beis, also then the Yahrzeit of my relatives. No. Moshe is different. Moshe is different. Okay, so that is one. Now, on the other hand, I saw an argument made. No, we have to mention, observe the Yahrzeit of Moshe bedafka, in Adar Rishon. You know why? Because what did Moshe say about Klal Yisrael? Hashem if you don't forgive the Jewish people for the Egel, Mocheini no misifricha asher kosofta. How is that fulfilled? Moshe's name is not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. When do we learn Parshas Tetzaveh? Next week, in Adar Rishon, the same time as his Yahrzeit. Always falls out during his Yahrzeit. So therefore, what is Moshe's legacy? He saved us from the Egel. Moshe's legacy is Ulchol Hayod. What do we say when we finish the Torah? Ulchol Hayod Hachazoka Sha'osa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Chazak Chazak V'nis Chazek. What does that pasuk mean, Rashi? Ulchol Hayod Hachazoka Zu Shviras HaLuchos. He shattered the Luchos. And then what did he do? He said to Hashem, if you don't forgive these guys, then Mocheini no. Moshe's ultimate legacy is he saved us from ourselves. He went to Hashem, and even though we messed up big time, he was asked Hashem mechila for Klal Yisrael, zechor li Avraham, li Yitzchak, li Yaakov. Mocheini no. What? Mecheini no. Misivcha asher kosofta. And when is that? When do we celebrate that? Tetzaveh. When is Tetzaveh? The same time as his Yahrzeit, his Petira, Yemisa, and therefore, how could you not observe his Yahrzeit in Adar Rishon? That's what's important. More than connecting Moshe to Purim, it's more important to connect Moshe to the Egel, to what he did for Klal Yisrael.
Okay. Just what you say that they do now. Say that the Lord brings down from Yahweh to Yeshua that the year Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzvah was a leap year.
Okay, and that's a big topic. Okay, right.
And he says he was mitzvah in the first Adar.
Okay, that's another argument. Okay, that's another argument.
The problem with that obviously is 30. Then we don't know when it's done, because when it's birth. 33 days after he died, they crossed the Arden.
Different calculations.
So that's why we say it's Yud Nisan, they crossed the Arden. So we come out wrong.
Okay, so they're different. That's true. They are different. There are conflicting Mamari Chazal. When Moshe's Petira was in a year of a leap year with an Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, or was it an ordinary year? So if Moshe's Petira was in a leap year, an Adar Rishon, so the rules, the basic rules are, so then in a year that has a double Adar, we observe the Yahrzeit certainly in the Adar Rishon. We imitate the year of the person's, but that's also not so similar, we'll get to it later, but that would be an argument to observe it in Adar Rishon. Okay, there are arguments both ways, those who want very much to connect Moshe to the story of Purim, Moshe's Yahrzeit will be shifted to the same month in when Purim is observed, celebrated, and those that want to focus on Mocheini no Misifcha will shift to Adar Rishon. If you want to follow strictly this Yalkut, which is also subject to debate, there are different Mamori Chazal which seem to indicate otherwise, and Moshe's Petir took place in Adar, in a leap year when there was an Adar Rishon, then of course you'll try to shift it to Adar Rishon. Elu ve'elu. There are different. If I'm not mistaken, I tried to look. What's the bottom line? It seems there is no bottom line. It seems that different chevres, different people who are accustomed to observing the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu when they really fast, and they only want to fast one day. There are different customs, different communities. We live in America today. America is the global melting pot. The Archical generation, which has synthesized all the minhagim into one standard. But because people anyway don't fast on Moshe's Yahrzeit, so it's not very relevant. Therefore, this has not become standardized yet. But back...
When the Chavar Kadisha, we fasted Adar Rishon, simply for practical reasons, because the day is shorter. It's a shorter fast.
Okay, that's another approach. You hear that? Another approach before they change the clock. It's a shorter fast day. Okay? Obviously, Elu v'Elu... Again, I told you, I was looking yesterday, and basically, I think in Nitig Avril, he doesn't see that, he brings down, like he leaves it hanging, if I'm not mistaken. It doesn't seem like there is any clear-cut one side. Yeah? The Ramah says on a regular yard site. That's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. I don't remember the exact word. That's on a regular yard. I'm talking about Moshe. Moshe is an exception. Moshe Rabbeinu Zayin Adar is a big debate. Now, a regular yard site, we just finished saying, is the reason, there's really no reason why not to observe the first. The first, because once it arrives, it should be done right away. Why would a person want to observe it, push off to the second? So then you want to say it's a double adar. Why not? There's no harm done in observing it twice. I'll just say something very interesting that I saw. This is very, very fascinating. I don't know who this was, a certain gadol, and he had yard site and adar. And every year there are different avelim. Sometimes there are avelim that are within shleishim, and there are avelim within yud beis chodesh. So his custom was that if there was a, this goes to show real midos and really goes to show greatness, that if there was a person that was a chiv of yud beis chodesh or shleishim, this Talmud Chacham would not daven for the amud, take the amud on the yard site, not in Adar Rishon, and not in Adar Sheni. Because he said, there's someone here that's a real chiv. He's toich yud beis chodesh. I have yard site today, Adar Rishon. Who says I should observe it in Adar Rishon? Maybe I should observe the yard site in Adar Sheni. I don't have to observe it in Adar Rishon. Who says? Because maybe Adar Sheni is also good. So, okay, I won't daven. I'll let him daven today in Adar Rishon. Then when it got to Adar Sheni, I already missed the yard site.
That's a shayla, because it's a shayla of kibud avraham. If he has yard site for a father or mother.
So maybe this is the kibud avraham. The kibud avraham.
He can't be mindful. The gabbai. Like the gabbai could
I hear. Okay. Okay, I hear.
I
fully understand. It's not for me to be Michael. The covet of parents is not for me to be Michael. I hear. You can say a svara like this, a svara like that.
You still get taken.
Okay, most people just the opposite. Most people just the opposite.
What did he say to you? Should be the tikkun.
The tikkun.
Exactly. It's a bigger tikkun in doing mitzvahs and tzedakah than going up to the yam.
No, so not everyone agrees to that. Not everyone. It's the cover of the niftar. It's not up to you. It's not your decision to make. I hear you can say a svara like this, brothers. Most people that I know, they daven both days and they push away wherever the chiyuv is. They'll take the amud. They'll take the amud on Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, which the chiyuv is not fair. If you take
tikkun on both days.
Both days. But l'chor, it's not fair. If a person takes the amud on Adar Rishon, l'chor, it's not fair to take the amud again if there's someone else that has the toich yud beis chodesh to take it away from him on Adar Beis when he wants it. L'chor, you had it already once. Person only dies once.
I only use the first, I'll never use the second.
Okay, these are all the different svaris about a yard site. But it would appear that the Iker yard site is the first one. That's what appears to be Mikar Hadin. And if you can, there's an Indian, if you're not going to harm anyone, there are many people that do indeed observe the yard site in the year when there's a leap year on both Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Of course, going in a situation where the person died in a year when there was only one Adar. If a person died in a year when there was a double Adar, then when whichever Adar he died, that's the Adar that he observes. You imitate the year that he died. If he died in a year when it was a leap year, and he died in an Adar Rishon, then you observe an Adar Rishon. If he died in the Adar Sheni, the Adar Sheni. But in the situation where he died in a year, there's only one Adar, and now it's a year when there's a double Adar, so then it appears to be the Iker Halach is Adar Rishon. And if he's able to and is not going to cause harm to anyone else, he can also do it in Adar Sheni. Now, I want to go bring out this very important point from the Magen Avraham, which is a very fascinating concept. Very, very, at least for me, very, very interesting idea. Let's talk about a bar mitzvah boy. Okay, it's not only a bar mitzvah boy, it applies to everything across the world. But here's what the Magen Avraham says, a chiddush, which we don't accept. And in fact, many show that Magen Avraham contradicted himself. And the shaila was what he wrote last, what he wrote later. Very common situation, a boy is born in a year when there is only when there's only one Adar. There's only one Adar, and now it's Bar Mitzvah. When is the boy Bar Mitzvah? He's born in a year when there's only one Adar, and now it's the Bar Mitzvah. So the halacha is it's Adar Sheni. The Bar Mitzvah, interesting, takes place it takes place in Adar. Is that correct? Am I making a mistake?
It's in the second Adar.
Bar Mitzvah boys. We pass in the halacha Iker Hadin. That's how we pass him. A boy who's born in a year when there's only one Adar. And now it's 13 years later. And the Bar Mitzvah, when does he celebrate?
So it's
the second Adar. Now that's interesting. Why is that so? Weeks when it comes to
it's a din in shana, not in Freydish.
Right.
It's a din in shana,
the end of the 13th year.
There's a double adar. So why is the when it comes
because
to Purim?
Second adar is a din in shana. It's not a din in Freydish.
It's a din in 13 years, therefore what? So therefore?
His 13th year ends in Adar Beis. He has to be 13 full years old.
13 years in a day. That's part of the dilemma.
When
Din in Shana, I saw it the same for years ago. It's a din in Shana, not a din in Freydish.
Okay. Okay, let me just make sure the Mogen Avraham. Wait, I'm getting all confused about this. One second. Okay, fine. Well, let's leave that for now. Here's the Mogen Avraham. We'll discuss this in a moment. We'll come back. The Mogen Avraham says a tremendous chiddush. The Mogen Avraham writes that. I won't understand them. I'm getting more confused about this. Noila b'shana pshuta. V'nasa bar mitzvah b'shana buberis. The Mogen Avraham says Adar Sheni. V'bnei shashana sha'avra. No, I think it's a mistake. V'shana sha'avra.
That's it. It's a different shana.
Okay, here's the case. Let's go to this case. Let's say a child is born in a year when there's a double Adar. Okay, let's discuss this case. Okay, we'll bring out the point. A person is born in a year when there's a double Adar. He's born in the second Adar. Okay, he's born in the second Adar. And now he is Bar Mitzvah in a year when it's also a double Adar.
Right.
So what would you say? A boy is born in a year when there is a double adar. Here we go, one more time. A boy is born in a year when there's a double adar. And he's born in the first adar. The first adar. It's now 13 years later. And it's a double adar. When does he celebrate his bar mitzvah? Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. So the halacha is, the bottom line is, the halacha is, except for the Magen Avraham, Adar Rishon. If a boy was born again, the case is, he's born in a year when there is a double Adar. And he's born in Adar Rishon. Fast forward 13 years. And it's also an Ibuyar. When does the Bar Mitzvah boy celebrate his Bar Mitzvah? The halacha, puk chazi ma'amadavar, go out what people do. The bottom line is he celebrates his bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. That is what the whole world does.
Right.
I'm born in a year of 13 months, and I was born in month number 12, and now it's 13 years later, and again there are 13 months. I'm going to celebrate the bar mitzvah in month number 12, exactly the way it was done when I was born. Okay, that's the halacha.
I don't think everyone agrees to that.
There's only one person that doesn't agree to that. That's the Magen Avraham. That's the Magen Avraham. But halacha l'maisa, this is the psak halacha. Halacha l'maisa, that's what the world does. The Magen Avraham says no. The Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham actually contradicted himself. The Magen Avraham, he wrote this in Shulchan Aruch, no, but he wrote elsewhere the other way around. He wrote, even though the Bar Mitzvah boy was born in a double Adar and Adar Rishon, and now 13 years later it's an Ibiyar, there are two Adars, he celebrates the Bar Mitzvah in Adar Sheni.
Right, because it's a
dinim shana. I'm confused about that principle. Let's put that aside just for a moment. This concept of shana. Let's put it aside for a moment. Why? Look at this lumbus. It's an incredible lumbus. Let's take a step back for 1 second. Let's put aside the din of shana for a second. Let's just focus on the basic raw halacha without lumbus. No lumbus yet. Basic raw halacha. If a boy is born in a shana pshuta, one Adar. 13 years later, there is a double Adar. When is the Bar Mitzvah? The second Adar. That's the way it's done. Okay, forget about Purim, forget about Yahrzeit sites. Let's talk about Bar Mitzvah. He's born in a year, there's one Adar. 13 years later, it's a double Adar. The Bar Mitzvah is an Adar Sheni.
Are we talking Halacha L'maisa?
Yes. Both. Even for the Raisis. So Shulchan Aruch, they talk about that. Maybe when it comes to the Raisis, you should put on tefillin an Adar Rishon, just L'chumra. Make sure those people who put on tefillin on the date of the Bar Mitzvah, maybe L'chumra, they should put on tefillin the month before. So some say right here in the Nitigril, in the long, long footnote, that okay, today it's not again because some people put on tefillin the month before, 2 months before. No! Bein L'kula, Bein L'chumra. Because if you're going to start doing the Oraisois, L'chumra, people are going to get confused. And then when the next Bar Mitzvah boy comes along, you're going to start comparing one to another, and you're going to start saying that the Bar Mitzvah really took place in Adar Rishon, where really L'halacha we hold that it's still a katan, and if we'll do things, we're going to give it significance when they're not significant. So Bein L'kula, Bein L'chumra, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, a boy that's born in a year, a Shana Peshuta, one Adar, 13 years later, it's a double Adar. The Bar Mitzvah is Adar Sheni. Period. Adar Sheni. Bein L'kula, Bein L'chumra. That is the bottom line. Now, let's say he's born in a year.
Safik brothers L'kula. So all the brothers, he has to do with Nidya Raisa. We cannot get on, and I can pass him like you're saying, go to Adar Sheni. And L'chumra, then I'm not going to let him be mighty me for any brothers.
Right.
Mighty me for anything till Adar Sheni.
Correct.
What are we taking away from him?
Tefillin. You don't let him wear tefillin. If this boy comes from a family where they put on tefillin the day he's Bar Mitzvah or 3 days before, most of us put on tefillin a month before or 3 months before. But let's say this boy lives as part of a family, a community where they put on tefillin bo bayom. So, but he was born and therefore maybe he midaraisa, he's really Bar Mitzvah in Adar Rishon. Let him wear tefillin for 30 more days.
But again, let him wear tefillin, but he doesn't make a bracha because some brachas.
Once you put on tefillin, someone looks at him. You're wearing tefillin. What's going on? Before you blink, you're living with a lot of problems. Nothing.
That happens. That happens now, and I heard a case where they thought they had a minion because the boy was wearing a hat.
So you see, it happens. A kid's wearing a hat. You see. You just prove the point. You prove the point. Less is more. Bain, the bottom line is, at least what I saw written yesterday, Bain L'kula, Bain L'chumra, the Psak HaLacha is, a boy that is born in a Shana Peshuta, 13 years later, it's a double Adar, finished. It's one Halacha, one size fits all. The Bar Mitzvah is an Adar Sheni. There's nothing to discuss. Now, next case. Let's say a boy is born in a year when there's a double Adar. Here's the Lamsha case. And he's born in Adar Rishon. And now, 13 years later, again, it's a double Adar. When is the Bar Mitzvah? So what is the bottom line? Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon. That's what we do halacha l'maaseh. If you're born in a year when there's a double Adar, and now 13 years later there's a double Adar, the Bar Mitzvah is going to be in Adar Rishon. Now, the Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says, even if you were born in a year that it was a double Adar, and now, 13 years later, there's a double Adar. Your Bar Mitzvah is Adar Sheni. Now listen to the lumbus. This is unbelievable lumbus. You know why? Because what was last year? If right now you're 13 years old, that means last year you were 12 years old. Last year, was there a double Adar? No, there's no such thing having 2 years in a row of a double Adar. Doesn't exist. If this year is a double adder, that means last year was not a double adder, and it means next year is not going to be a double adder. There's no such thing having 2 years in a row with a double adder. So if this year is a double adder, last year was a single adder. When we make the calculation for your bar mitzvah, we're now coming to conclude the conclusion of your 12th year. When we look at a bar mitzvah boy, here's the lomish shaila. When you look at a bar mitzvah boy, do you look that he's now 13 years old from the time he was born? Or do you look at a bar mitzvah boy in increments of years? This is year 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we're going from year 12 to year 13. The bar mitzvah in year 13 is calculated to year 12. You become 12 years old. Wow, look at that. Last year you were 12 years old. Now we got to get you from 12 years old to 13 years old. Last year you were 12 years old. When was your birthday last year? Oh, it was the fifth day of Adar. There happens only to be one Adar last year. Oh, so last year, it was the fifth day of Adar, when there was only one Adar, and now, this year, year 13 for you, there are two Adars. Oh, if last year was one Adar, and this year there are two Adars, so we go to Adar Sheni. Don't confuse me with the facts that 13 years ago when you were born, there was a double Adar. Whoever told you to go back 13 years? When we calculate the year of becoming bar mitzvah, do we look at the calculation of the becoming bar mitzvah from, it's the last year. We're now getting you over the hump. We're going back to the previous year. The previous year, there was one Adar. If it would be a mitzias, maybe bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, and they were mekadesh al pi ra'iya. I don't know what the halach is. Maybe there is such, is it possible for there to be such a thing where you can have a two adars 2 years consecutively? Is this such a thing? I don't think so. Maybe there is. Maybe there is some bizarre case where the calendar is so way out of balance, the bezin can do such a thing where they can make a double adar 2 years in a row. Maybe there could be. In our calendar, it's impossible. It's already preset. But maybe with mancha base, maybe there's some type of situation where it can happen. And if it can happen, oh, then you want to go look at your last year. There was a double adar, and it was adoration. So we'll do it, adoration. But when you're dealing with a bar mitzvah boy, whoever said the calculation takes you back to the time that you were born, we look at the calculation from the previous year. That's an incredible, that changed the whole equation. That changes everything.
But if it's 12th year was a leap year, right?
Yeah. It can't be. If the 12th year is a leap year, then year 13 is going to be a regular year.
Right. So the 12th year, when you count from 12, you count 12 months after, you can end a month before.
I think that's what Rabbi Dr. Cohen was referring to. He's referring to the Shana, not in the Chodoshim. That's what he was referring to. Is that when the previous year was a leap year, and this year is not a leap year, so it's not going to be 12 months. It's going to be 11 months. It's going to be. Well, is it? No, it's not. It's still going to be. Okay. I'm confused with that case. Let's put that case. That's a different case. I'm getting confused.
The 12th year was a leap year.
Yeah.
So his birthday, if you're going according to 12, then once he's 12, you're counting 12 months from that time. It's going to be a month before Adam. It's going to be the 11th.
No, we don't. That we for sure don't do. That we don't do, right, exactly.
Using
right.
That analysis.
Right, no, that we don't do. We don't go but look at the months. Analysis. We look at the years, right? We don't look at it like that. But let's look at this. This is a very powerful principle, and I'm trying to calculate time. When you calculate years, where is your starting point? The basic rule is, if it's a double Adar, and the event took place in Adar Rishon, and then you're now dealing with another double Adar, so we assume we go to Adar Rishon. Who says that's only when you're going from the Adar Rishon, the double Adar to a double Adar? But we know that if a person is born in a year when there's only one Adar, and then later on there's a double Adar, we follow the second Adar for a bar mitzvah. So if that's the case, when it comes to a bar mitzvah boy this year that there is a double Adar, and he was born in a year when there was a double Adar, and in the double Adar he was born in the first Adar, how do we look at his 13th year? Do we look at his 13th year corresponding to the year that he was born? Then it was Adar Rishon. Now it's going to be Adar Rishon. That's how we pass in Halacha L'Maaseh. That's the Psak Halacha L'Maaseh. But the Magen Avraham says that's wrong! Wrong! That's not the way you look at a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy is a boy that went from being 12 years old to a boy who is 13 years old. We're judging year number 13 based upon year number 12. And in year number 12, by definition, is only one Adar. So it's like it's one Adar, and the next year there's two Adars. Then you follow the second Adar for the birthday.
Correct.
Now, even though we don't accept this, this is rejected halacha lemaisa, when it comes to birthdays, a birthday, we go back to the time of birth 13 years ago. But let's take this concept and look at yard sites. Maybe this is a sniff when a person's yard site comes. And you observe yard site. What is exactly the observance of a yard site? No one came back to tell us what goes on in Shemayim, how these things work. So we look.
I'll give you a real case. I'll give you a case on Lachal HaMaisu. The Nif Teres was Nif Dechok Ches Adar Aleph. Was not buried till 3 days later in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Yud Beis Chodesh ended Chok Ches Shvat.
Okay, no. You're going in different cases. No. This is a different type of case.
The year ended at the end of Nisan, which was the end of Kfura.
This is on paper. This is too confusing for my little head. You're going off on the we're going off on a very
and
different.
Then we had a yard sign on Chokhes at the end of the month of Av.
I can't keep cashing. This you're going off into different. There are more variables. Okay. The case that you're discussing has more variables. Let's just focus on the basics. A person died in a year when there's a double, when there's only one double adder. And now it's let's say 50 years later, and again there's a double adder. Who says the yard site 50 years later is relative to the Yom HaMisa? Who says? Maybe the yard site is relative to the previous yard site. How do these things work? No one came to tell us in Shemayim how they make calculations of a person's petira. When it comes to a birthday,
listen to the word yard site. You go by the year when the year is over.
The year is over. So that would mean if you want. Okay, I don't know if you can take that as a proof, but if you want to go down that pit, it proves my point. The year is over. So when is the year over relative to last year? Relative to the year before? So then even if a person would have died in a year when there's a double Adar, and the Petira took place in Adar Rishon, if 50 years and 50 years later, let's say...
When we see Nifta?
In a double Adar, a year of a double Adar.
The first Adar.
The first Adar. And 50 years later, it's a double Adar. When is the yard site? So you would say, listen, if he died in a year when there's two Adars, an Adar Rishon, so of course we should observe the yard site in Adar Rishon. Who says? Who says when you calculate a yard site, you calculate it from the day that he died? Maybe when it comes to death, death has its own set of rules. Maybe every year there's a... Why do we say that? What's the reason to say that? Because we Chazal say explicitly that on the Yom Petira there is a Yom Hadin. There's a Yom Hadin. A birthday, it doesn't say anywhere on a person's birthday there's a Yom Hadin. So halacha lemaisa, we reject the Magen Avraham with regard to birthdays. We halacha lemaisa go back to birth. Birth is significant. Just because when the boy is 13 years old, we calculate, we look at his bar mitzvah relative to when the boy was born. If he was born in Adar Rishon, your bar mitzvah will be in Adar Rishon. We reject the Magen Avraham halacha lemaisa to say that your bar mitzvah is relative to your 12th year. In the 12th year, there was only one Adar, so now there's two Adars. If you would follow the 12th year, well, you should observe your bar mitzvah in the second Adar. But when it comes to Petira, who says there's significance in the date of death of 50 years ago? Maybe the significance in Petira is in the last Yom Hadin. When was the last Yom Hadin? Year 49. In year 49, how many Adars were there? One. So now it's year 50. So now it's time for a new din. So if the last din was an Adar Rishon, this year there's a double Adar, the din's going to be an Adar Sheni. Who says we judge death the way we judge life? Each one has its own set of variables, its own rules. All right, so we're just playing around here. No one knows it. We don't know anything. But we have over here a whole list of variables and concepts of Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, the Magen Avraham. I find to be a fascinating Magen Avraham. It's really fascinating of just because you're born in a double Adar and Adar Rishon, yeah, that was 13 years ago. Your bar mitzvah year takes you back to year number 12. It's an incredible idea. We don't pass like this.
Mamaisa, yes, your local Gabbai in the shul have to time.
Right.
And maybe you'll ask the room.
The bottom line is what it appears to be. It appears the yard side. I don't think we accept the Magen Avraham either for yard side too. The bottom line is that the Petir took place in Adar Rishon. The yard side is not Adar Rishon. Adar Sheni, Adar Sheni. When a person dies in the year with only one Adar, halacha lemaisa, it seems pretty clear. The Iker yard side is Adar Rishon. And if you can, it's no harm to anyone else. You can also observe the yard side and Adar. You can say Kaddish. No one's going to harm you saying Kaddish. You can make tikkun. You want to take away the omer from someone else? You know, if the guy doesn't mind, goes on the aid. If the person is making him upset, then you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. That's what appears to be the bottom line. We don't accept.
I think there's a book that if the youth base prays, there's shichucha. And that's why you're not allowed to forget a yard sign by postponing it to after youth base prays. That's in the state I saw it years ago.
All right, so another idea. All right, so you can be mafalpel, there are many different hagim. We just want to present some of the issues, and obviously every person follows their rav and their tradition, and we'll leave it with that. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day.
A person is not born from Shana Mugdalet. It's from Isha Mugdalet. That's right.
No, her name was Shana. Shana is female. Yes, the Isha is also
a female. Okay, very good. Excellent, excellent. Good line. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Good day. When is the next session?
How do you say
reflecting the
woman,
what is your name?
When's the next session?
Tomorrow, 9:30, your session.
Billy Nader. That's Ralph's neighbor's brother.
Have a good day, be well.
I apologize.
There's a lot of noise here. Will you tell me later? There's a lot of noise in the room. I can't hear. I'll tell you later. There's a lot of noise here. I can't hear.
Oh, maybe, because Stanley's still alive. So you were born in 36, didn't you?
No, Shelly was like,
could be, I don't know.
Did you go to Shelly's service?
No.
Did you know the family well?
What?
Did you know the family well?
Yes. That's it. My sister better than me.
Were the
husband and wife like reconciled?
No.
They're not. They're not new to each other. They're nothing.
She told my sister a long time when certain things happened that she was going to get a divorce. Because she had. Wanted new partners, but she didn't. I guess I didn't think it would come to that. But once he went to jail, it became a moot point. She's 76 now, so she's 76.
Have a good day, everyone.
Outside,
Rabbi Baruch, what were you saying?
I was saying that this year, when it comes out, 13 years ago was the Shalom Shuta. So the caterers don't like this Chodesh Adar. There's no bar mitzvah.
Every caterer agrees you should have two parties.
That's very interesting. That's interesting. They know there are no bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. Wow, that's very interesting. That's really very interesting. That's true.
Sometimes there can be, but in this particular...
Why could there be? How could there be a bar mitzvah?
13 years ago was a regular year.
Right, so that's what they can't be. 13 years ago is a regular year.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but sometimes in Idiot you can make...
Because if 13 years ago it was also an Idiot.
Right. Yeah.
But this particular year, there are no bar mitzvahs in the whole Chodesh.
I was born in an Ibiyar and I got bar mitzvah in an Ibiyar.
I'm sorry?
I was born in an Ibiyar and I got bar mitzvah in an
Ibiyar. Me too. I was also born in Ibiyar and I was in Ibiyar. Same thing. I was born in Adar Rishon. I was born in the year when there was an Ibiyar and Adar Rishon and I was bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. A month before Purim.
Moshe was married in an Ibiyar in Adar Aleph. So I told him beforehand, I said, you're lucked out, you don't have to fast. It was Purim Kut and Sheni. You know,
interesting.
Purim, so,
interesting.
Yeah.
So, Baruch, you had a lot of good stories with the double adders? A lot of good fights there in the shul?
No, Baruch Hashem, there was never fights in the Beis Yosef, because Baruch Hashem had my Rebbe didn't tell the Baruch Hashem, I had it for Rebbe, so that's it. Well, the Rosh said was it finished.
So the Yard says, so what did the Yard says Adar Rishon? You did when it was an Ibiyar? When was the Yard
says? Let's say someone had the Yard side this year.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a guy who did have him. He used to come over, he sent me another shame. He says, there's nobody else tonight down for the other. I said, fine, no problem, but there has to be nobody else.
Right.
That's all.
Let's say there would be someone. I'm just curious. Let's say there would be someone else, and the person would privately. What was your policy? The person would privately go over to him and say, "I." Well, let's say the person.
Hardly ever happened. And I once got very upset with somebody who finagled his way into. I think there was a certain agreement made. It was too schmoishim, too big on schmoishim. And they had agreed that once we're davening in the shul. Mutter Shabbos and one good daven in the hallway. They both had a shloshim. And when I came in to see what I was doing, the other guy who was supposed to daven in the hallway talked the other guy out of it that he should daven in the hallway. And I got extremely upset. It led to
the rav that you have a mean in the hallway?
At a certain point in time, yes, but then the rav stopped in that. But this is the most is a shloshim. It wasn't some. They both had shloshim.
I went to a shul. I was horrified, mamash horrified, where there were two people who had yard site Shabbos, and for Musaf, in the shul itself, they had two minyanim for Musaf for Shabbos morning. And not what?
Same room
in the main shul. They split the room. For Musaf, half daven, 1 minute, other daven, other minute.
All right. I'll probably be here by Thursday, Mitzvah.
Okay, hopefully you can walk the streets. You know, there's a joke about somebody forgot to say Kaddish. The mom came to Mechulim, and he says, Ich bin der Meuchel nicht zum Kaddish. Ticking?
Oh.
This is my.
It's true. It's not a joke. It's true. You know,
well,
people.
I understand what he said. It's the famous story of the Zidichayla. Zidichayla missed his mother's yard side.
Oh, maybe that's the one. Okay.
And the mother came to him in the yard side and he said, she's Michael the Kabbalah, she's Michael the Mishmai, so she's not Michael the Ticking.
Ticking, yeah.
So they called it over to Sapper Rebbe from Yiddish and he said, The person following the story was shit himself. But when you talk about giving up the oven and stuff, I saw once when a Rebbe did this, and he was an avelos for his mother. And his mother passed away right after Purim, and this happened in Nissan. The oldest man in the shul at that time goes back over 33 years. That man of 33 years old was 86 years old. man came to shul, and the rebbe was in the shloshim. And when the guy came on the shul advice, the rebbe walked over and says, the man didn't like, you know, he didn't really know anything, the rebbe said, Dalek. And he basically walked over to the omelet. And the rebbe let him do it. I said, Rebbe, why didn't you tell him? He says, I'm going to start telling him that the shloshim has more than the yard side. He says he's 86 years old. He said, let him down and finish the rebbe.
By the Germans, there's only one person davening. You don't have like three guys.
Well, that's not long. That's the
short. No. But this goes. So you can have some people who haven't davened for the young maid.
Yeah, right. Before. Yeah.
That's halacha, and that can't be. There's no outside minion downstairs.
But the bottom line is, if you daven the shul at Kadima, guess what? Since you're not able to daven because of the halacha, you get credit for it.
Yep.
Scott Zagazin.
Your Rebbe was the real deal. Your Rebbe was the real deal.
Rebbe Levine,
yeah.
Very good share.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, no bar mitzvahs. No bar mitzvahs. Special discount.
Once a guy came over, I don't know whether it's so long ago, I don't know that it really mattered what he did. So I don't know if he pushed away somebody else.
When you were a gabbai, would you let's say a guy comes, someone comes and talks to you, let's say it's a shriga, his grandfather, and on his own, he says to the person who's tech yud beis chaydish, can you do me a favor? Can you let me daven? And he would say, yeah.
I would. It hardly ever happened, but I would interfere with it. I would step in.
You wouldn't let it happen. You wouldn't let it, right?
No, you can't step over people.
Even if the guy would agree.
No,
kids are
all the people.
Stop,
you can't take advantage of people. Not right.
Good, very good. You're very good. Because England of a safe.
Yeah.
England, because let's say you have a guy that's really very, you know, very generous, and anyway, he doesn't always down for the armor, doesn't really care. Once you let one person, England of a safe. England of a safe.
Leaving these empty, you learn it out, for example. Let's say someone walks in tomorrow in the shul, and I'm looking at the shul right now, and he says, I want to give a new parochus. I sent $6 million parochus. Now it's so beautiful. I want, guess what?
Too bad.
This parochus is workable, okay?
Someone
there's nothing wrong with it. It's not ripped, it's not torn, okay? This can stay there forever. If it's ripped and torn already, that's something else. Then you have to approach the person who gave it and give him the opportunity to give another one. It's not usable anymore. So you have to give the other person, since he gave it, you have to give him an opportunity. And once he says, I don't want to give another one, then you can go to another person. But for a style of person just to walk it, for example, give a new sederm for the shul. And you have workable sederm, usable sederm. You can't take those sederm off the shelves.
100%. 100%. 100%. I was in Shulai Davin and Shabbos, so the people there who owned the place, the Wallerstein family, they had two simchas one week in their own family, two different members of the family, and it was also an ufruf, a Talmud. So they could have made 20 aliyahs. And they decided no hoisafis. Ordinarily they never make hoisafis. They made it once or twice. And they decided no, because it's us. Because if it would have been someone else, if it would have been, I don't even know if they know, so if it would have been like, let's say, three simchas not from their family, I have a feeling they probably would have made a hoisaf. Maybe, and that's also wrong. But they said, because it's our simchas over here, and there are other people also, if we're going to go make hoisafas for us, then it's not going to be nice when we're not going to want to make hoisafas for other people if there are other simchas. So there were no hoisafas. What? Right. So there were no hoisafas. That was it, no hoisafas. The only game.
22 years of never making hoisafas. I don't know what hoisafas is.
Wow. Chaim Berlin, they never, ever, ever made a hoisaf. Never. Never. Right, I'm davening now in a place now that did by for 10 years. Almost 10 years already I'm davening there. They made a hoisaf twice. No. Was it twice or once? Maybe only once. They wanted to make it the second time. And I was learning that Shabbos, and I told them, I don't know where to stop. And there just wasn't enough time. It was like they told me on the spot, okay, just make a hoisaf. I said, you just can't make it. You have to know where to stop. You have to know this, that. So this, I started looking, and I said, you know, I don't have any yeshiva das to go. Okay, forget it. So we didn't make a hoisaf. But the other time, they made a hoisaf. They made a hoisaf. I told you, it was the worst possible week to make a hoisaf. The worst. When there were three Sifrei Torah. There are three Sifrei Torah, so where do we make the hoisaf? At Shri. Why is that? It's probably the best place to make a hoisaf, right? That's the best, because then. Right. But it's the worst, because why is the worst? Because everyone is. What are you stopping here, Yama Aretz? Don't you know? Don't you know the halacha? There are three Sifrei Torah. You're supposed to go from Shri. You're supposed to go to the end. You're right. We're making a hoisaf. You're making a hoisaf? Since when do you make a hoisaf here?
This is what Chaim Berlin did. So you can dive with Chaim Berlin for 3-4 years every Shabbos, you know, get an aliyah.
Right. Even if you dive with it 20 years, you won't get an aliyah.
I'm
saying that they're figuring out the odds. No, but that's not the reason why. In Chaim Berlin, they're not going to give, they only give an aliyah to their own.
I'm just saying that.
Even if they would distribute the aliyahs equally, they right, then what are the chances of getting an aliyah? Yeah,
but I used to have a guy that I was in shul, it was a guy, he had two levim.
Yeah.
And these people came every day to shul.
Yeah.
So that means all over the course of the year, if you're not Shabbos, but these people come Shabbos, they came during the week. So in a normal year, if you get all the Shabbos Shiva, you're talking about at least 100 aliyahs, I think about 100 aliyahs.
Yeah.
And if you want to throw in the Shkodesh there, you know, they put 100 aliyahs. So if you have two aliyahs, there's 100 aliyahs. That means they're getting each 50 aliyahs a year. Approximately. You can be on the side.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway, so this guy, he came out the order. Came over to me, rather than three times he came over to me. And I think last time I really I got upset. He says to me like this, I haven't had an aliyah this week in 2 weeks. So I said, first of all, I said, I don't think it's true. Because I wanted to give the other guy, you know, 8 times, 6 months straight aliyah. And second thing is, I think, who do you think you are? I said, you're like the guy who wakes by the bus stop with a little clicker, and you click every time the guy gets an aliyah. Think about it. The impact didn't give out proportionally. So let's say I gave him 2-to-1 ratio. So he got 30 aliyahs. What does he want?
I went to Menachem Avil Oso Mitzvah Shabbos. A person that he's not a gabbai of a shul, but he was very, very involved. He still is in the shul, very involved. Mamish, probably 60 years already. You know, especially with the money, with raising money. And he says all the years he deals with people in the shul, there's such nice, good people, normal, kind, generous. The moment they walk into the shul, they become crazy. They become a sugar. They want this. Demands, tightness. The moment they walk out of the shul, they're such good. Walking into the shul makes people some people crazy.
I always said it brings out the worst in people and the best in people.
Yeah. It's amazing, huh? It's really amazing. It's really amazing.
I thought, yeah, there was a man with shul. You know, he wasn't, before he was from the big spenders. He was very, he watched every penny. Like, once came over to me, and he said, there's a certain person, this person would come to shul once in a while. He says, that person, that phone was long. When he has a hole through the head of the talus. That's how he ripped the talus was. And when he made that tifa for the talus, talus came through his head.
What?
He had a hole. He had a hole by the top of the talus. A big hole. It was worn out from the...
Okay.
And this guy happened to be, it wore out for two, another reason why it wore out because he was a Lubavitcher, but he didn't have a lining in the talus either. So he managed to run through. So this other man comes over to me, puts me on the side one day. He says, Baruch, he says, don't tell anybody this. He says, next time you're in Baruch, do me a favor. He says, you would know what to get, this and that. He says, whatever you tell me the money is, I'll give it to you. Please buy this guy a talus.
Wow.
I said, I can't look at it anymore. I can't look at it. He says, please buy him a talus. And you'll have to find a way how to give it to him. And that's what Itaka did. I'm just saying, this is a person who's like very tight with his money. But it came with this thing.
Wow. You
know, and even this person would come, he would have been Torah Dan Shabbos woman. He was the only person that the neighbor would come to me and would say to me, listen, Friday night, I heard there was an appeal near Shabbos. What was the appeal for? Please, I want to give you a check.
Wow, what a tzaddik.
Where the other people would say, you know, I wasn't here to
Shabbos. Oh, yeah. Wow! You see that?
Well, I did once, I learned from him a little bit. We only did it for about 6-7 people. And I said, there's certain people that the Talasim are just, it's just terrible. You can look at it. So I used to go, I went, one time I went to Suli Column. Suli had a storm bar apart. And I asked him, do you have any extra talasim laying around? Because when people buy a new palace, they leave the old palace. So he gave me two talasim.
Wow.
And I went to the certain, at that time it was a certain man borough park. He doesn't clean the palace, he washes it, he blackens the palace. So eventually over the years, it must be between 6 and 8 people, between this other fellow and myself, he gave talasim to about 6 or 8 people.
It's very nice. There's a guy in Chaim Wilner, the one I sat in front of, behind Wilner. So he, I think at his own expense, he bought a collection of brand new talasim with bags, you know, with the bags, for simchas. The Chaim Wilner people, they come for a simcha. They don't have a talis, they don't carry, and they hope to get one of the talisim from the yeshiva. And the truth is, the yeshiva doesn't have the yeshiva. How many do they have? They have 2, 3. They don't keep them in stock. When it gets worn out, they dispose of it. So they have the for the shliach tzibur 2, 3. So there's a simcha. There can be 5, 10 people who need a talis. So he bought a collection, a nice a stash of nice talisim with bags, special bags, which printed on it, the yeshiva, whatever. And whenever there was a simcha, they were there. They people, the yeshiva had ready for them.
So I asked him, had this happened 40 years ago? Surely Charles was buying them for 40 years. In the cycle,
so. Yeah, sure.
So his father was, I used to call him crying, but he was an usher. So I found his father was a son. So he's coming close to Surely. He says to me, Baruch, find that. And this goes back 40 years ago. This wouldn't happen now, but the price. So go to Baruch Park, give me the money, put it on there. And so at that time, he bought 10 talasim. 10 talasim. It was only $25,000.
$20
a lot of money today also.
Yeah, I'm just saying, and I bought ventilation for sure.
Wow. A towel today costs over $100. A good towel. $110, $125. A good towel. Nice towel. At least $110, $25. Probably more ready by now. Wow. Very interesting.
There's some people, you know, they think that the general is sure they clean the floor of the towel. You're still there?
I'm still here. How are you? How's Eretz Yisrael?
Hey, I'm getting off, I'm in private conversation. Trying?
What's new?
I use them.
Zay Gazan, Baruch, have a wonderful day. Thank you. Meir, what's new with you? How was your trip? Meir, I can't hear you.
You hear me?
Very, very on and off. It's choppy.
Okay. I have a bad connection here, that's why.
In Eretz Yisrael, you have the best connection.
You hear me? I'm cutting the picture off. Maybe it'll be better.
So what's... Yeah, now I hear you. I hear you. What's doing?
I sent you an article
about Eisenman. Yeah, I didn't read it. I know, you sent me, not now, but like 2 days ago, right?
A very long letter.
Okay.
It's been making, that letter has been jumping around to every single site.
Okay, I gotta go read it right now.
It's a very long letter.
What's it about?
It's by a victim of Honduras who was a victim at the age of 12. And now is in her late 30s, married with a bunch of kids, Eliza Monte. And there isn't a day that she...
I can't hear you. Sound is going...
Then your maximization goes through trauma.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, in this letter, I saw it. He sent it out for Erev Shabbos.
Wow.
And I sent it to you right away, and everyone picked up on it. Is a very powerful parable. I couldn't sleep all night because of it. And you know I'm a guy who locked it up.
Mayor, the voice is going in and out. Your voice, the connection is very poor. You're going in and out.
I can't do it better here because I'm in a downstairs room. They're looking for some mech that transmits the wireless through the electric line downstairs. Do you ever hear of such a thing?
Yeah, it's very, yes. That's a very, I almost bought that device. Yeah, that's a very popular, it used to be a popular way. You plug it in.
It's like $200.
You get it for less. You have one of those? That's what they're using?
No, they want to put one in to solve the problem.
Okay, first of all, it doesn't always work so well, depends. Number two, some people, they claim that it creates a lot of radiation in the walls, and it's very, it's unhealthy. Some claim it's not necessarily the best thing to do. It can create...
It's as much radiation as regular electricity causes radiation.
No, this creates, it's a different, this creates, it does a lot more of this. That's, I don't know. Gesunde hate! I actually should know, I was considering before...
All right, we'll talk about it. But anyway, the article is very, 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 very...
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to read it, okay. I know you're talking about... I looked into that a few times to get that. I needed that. And even the young Israel over here, before we got internet over here...
Glance at it. Read it till the last drop. It's very, very long. Read it alone.
I'm going to read it.
Oh. It makes a very... Profound statement. And I think that Tzvishmi and Nebidot, Leap of Agulis falls into that category.
I hear what you're saying.
All right.
How's your trip? What is it? What else? What did you say? What did you send me about your trip? You're sitting with the AKs? What's an AK?
Yeah, I can't
hear.
When I came to load the plane, the people on wheelchairs went first.
And then they said anyone has a difficulty in these times. So I okay.
So that's good, you got on first.
In the cash plane, but I have 26 members. I had the best seat and I had the miserable seat. I had a seat right before the bulkhead, so I could lean back, no bother me. Two of them. These seats were next to me, but behind the bulkhead was the bathroom, and it stank. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I survived.
Is El Al? What was this, El Al?
Delta.
So how did...
They warned every 5 minutes before the flight, during the flight, if you're sleeping, we don't care. If you're not wearing a mask this flight, or you'll be arrested, whatever. Next to me, a guy fell asleep, and his nose is open. He woke him up. And he was like dreaming, he didn't want to wake up. He said, put your mask on.
Wow.
All right. I'll talk to you.
All right, also, Zeigesund.
going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No.
It's not about race.
It's about a different race.
But it's not about race. It's not about race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man. That's what it's about.
But it's about white supremacy.
There is a big time land rush going on right now, but it is nowhere near your house. In fact, somewhere near any of our houses. In fact, Robert Frank joins us with a heck of a story. Robert, what's going on?
Good morning, Andrew. Facebook's new meta strategy has caused a run on real estate in the metaverse. Sales of virtual land on the major metaverse platforms topped $500 million last year. Right after Facebook's October announcement, monthly sales went from $15 million to $133 million. Sales in January is still holding strong at over $86 million. Investors, startups, big brands, all pouring money into the space. A collection of land parcels in the sandbox selling for $4.3 million. The buyer was Republic Realm. They are a metaverse real estate startup that is developing 100 islands called the Fantasy Islands. It sold the first 90 in just one...
can you be?